Hello and welcome to Home. My name's Elise McKenna, and this series is all about finding out what home actually means to people. What comes to mind when you hear that word? Have you ever thought about it before? Whether you have a place where you feel truly rooted, or you're yet to find your place, we all have something unique to share, and we can all learn a little more about one another. This is the series where we can do that. This is Home. Today, I'm catching up with Katie Nugent to hear her thoughts on the topic of home. Katie works for our international partner support team at Lush, so being away from home is quite a heavy part of her life, and I had a feeling she'd have some interesting perspectives to share, which we'll soon hear about. But for starters, Katie recently became a homeowner, so I began today's chat by congratulating her on her new home and asking her how it feels to have a place to officially call her own, to see where that might take our conversation.
It feels really grown up. I never had a real ambition to own a home.
Right.
I think for some people, you know, it's all about, you know, you leave school, like you get a job, become a homeowner.
Yeah.
I see it as kind of like the Tory dream.
Oh, really?
And the socialist in me really wants to rebel against it and be like, no. But yeah, it seemed like a sensible thing to do. We're happy here on the south coast in Poole.
Yeah.
It's a good place for us to be now. And yeah, after looking at a lot of places, we found one that suits us. So
yeah,
I'm really happy. And it's nice to be able to make somewhere your own.
Definitely, yeah. So is this the first place you've actually made your own?
I think honestly, this house we live in now is probably the first place that I look forward to coming home to.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think like, so between the ages of like 18 and last year, I didn't really spend more than like a year in one place.
Yeah, same with me as well.
Yeah, yeah. So like a lot of moving around, a lot of generation rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of had like some things that I brought with me to make it feel familiar and make it feel like my own, but I never really invested so much in one place.
Yeah.
So yeah, it feels really exciting and That's really great. Big to be able to like choose the color of a wall
yeah.
and like, you know, make a change that feels a little bit more permanent.
What makes it more permanent in contrast to just having things that can make you feel at home, like those random little maybe decorative items or things that you can take anywhere? What's the difference?
I think it's like the scale and like the amount of imagination and creativity that I allow myself now. I think before I maybe didn't care so much about the place. It was a place where I had a roof over my head, like it's comfortable enough. I didn't put as much of my creative energy into imagining what could be. So maybe I'd do a little here and there to make it feel homely, but now I feel like it's like the sky's the limit.
Yeah. Have you learned anything about what it is that you really love about home in the process of creating this new place?
Gardening.
Nice.
Yeah, so like I come from a long line of gardeners. My dad's an amazing gardener. My granddad has the best gardener. He has the best garden in Liverpool. Like,
great.
Definitely. last year I managed to grow some food. Very small scale. But
that's fine.
Yeah, I really wanted to be able to cook a meal with some food that I'd grown in my own garden.
It's so satisfying as well to like know what you're cooking with. Like,
yeah.
This is my carrot. This is my potato.
Yes, exactly. Like I harvested one. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, but it's lovely. What kind of, let's just retrace sort of your home steps. So you now have your own home.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you've learned from all of the places that you've lived that's kind of helped you pave the way to where you are now?
Whoa.
It's a bit of a big question. Maybe.
I've learned a lot about what I want and what I don't want from a home.
Okay. Can you elaborate?
So like when we came to buy somewhere, I think I got quite particular knowing like exactly where I wanted to be, what kind of space, what was important to me, the right level of like surroundings and human interaction and space and all of those things.
We did speak a little bit before this recording as well, and you mentioned that although you do have this official home, which is your home on paper, you still call your family home home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Like, since I messaged you about this a week ago, now every time I say the word home, I'm really questioning myself. And I use the term for a lot of places.
Yeah.
If I, like, look through my contact list on my phone, home is my mum and dad's landline number because I never got around to changing it. It would feel like a bit of a weird thing to change it to like mother and father. It's a little bit formal, maybe. It's a bit,
yeah.
So yeah, I dial like every week when I call my mum, usually on a Sunday, I'm typing in H-O-M-E.
Yeah.
Like, and call home. That's who picks up the phone. But yeah, it doesn't feel like my home. It doesn't look like my home, but my family are there. So
it still kind of is.
Still kind of. It's a place where I can like go and not have to think about how I'm behaving.
Yes, exactly.
I guess that's a good definition for home.
Now, we've started in the present moment there with Katie, hearing about what home is for her now, what she likes, and also the links with her family home. But knowing that Katie spends a lot of time away from Poole, I really wanted to hear some stories about how her travels may have broadened her thoughts on the subject, and how she feels being away so often.
I travel a lot with work.
Yeah.
I'm introducing myself a lot as like, I'm English, I'm from England.
Yeah.
Which then kind of puts me in a place where I'm describing that as home. So feeling like English, feeling like I'm from Liverpool. So like I grew up in Liverpool. People always ask me where my accent's from.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good marker of like home is many places.
Yeah, it is many places. Do you think when you're introducing yourself, like when you go away, like, oh, I'm Katie from England or Liverpool, do you think home and identity have a link?
That, yes, that's so interesting, you should say, because yeah. I've had this conversation in the last few weeks. So I just got back from Japan.
Yeah.
I was working out there, but one of the weekends I spent, I went to a place called Kaminoseki. So it's over in the west of Japan. And we went and stayed in like a really traditional kind of ryokan situation where there were lots of people who come together because they're really passionate about protecting and conserving the environment there.
Yeah.
So we had a dinner together and we had to go around the table and like introduce ourselves and where we were from. And like, I was sat next to a guy who was a sweet potato farmer and was telling us all about how the wild boar keep eating his sweet potatoes. And then like across the table from me is a scientist who was telling us all about the plant life and like what's brought him there. And I met a lovely lady who was 55 years old. She's been vegan for 10 years and she works for Patagonia. So we had loads of good conversation. And then, so it came to me introducing myself and I thought, what shall I say? Like, how much shall I say? So
yeah.
I said, okay, I'm Katie. I'm from Liverpool, England. And they all went, oh, the Beatles. Oh, which is like the reaction that I get a lot. So, you know, no matter where I am in the world, if I say I'm from Liverpool, people say the Beatles or football or
yeah.
Those tend to be the two main ones. And that's really nice because I think that's a really positive first reaction to like your identity. Then it's so tied up with your own identity. Like on the other hand, after visiting Kaminoseki, we went to Hiroshima.
Yes.
Which is a place that I've always wanted to visit. Like some of my colleagues are from Hiroshima. You know, when you tell someone that you're from Hiroshima, the first thing that someone thinks of is obviously 1945 Hiroshima A-bomb.
Yeah.
And I just thought like the amount of baggage that you have depending on where you're from and the identity and just like having to say that.
Yeah.
As part of your introduction, I wonder how much that shapes like who you are and how you introduce yourself.
How do you find it with traveling so much with work? Do you need to make yourself feel at home when you're away or do you tend to be okay?
I am so okay.
Yeah.
I love traveling. Like I could never have dreamed that I'd be able to travel so much through work. And I absolutely love what I do. So it's something that I'm really, really happy to do. Mm. Of course, it's nice to come home. But when I travel, I'm not the kind of person who has to take like home comforts with me, like
okay.
at all. So like, I don't even take tea bags. Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I really like to throw myself into whatever the culture is there. So like, yes, I could bring my Yorkshire tea,
mm-hmm.
great tea. But I know that like, even if I make a cup of Yorkshire tea sat in Tokyo, it's not gonna taste the same anyway. So like, why would I try to recreate something? I'd rather like go find the green tea that everyone's drinking over there. Like it's from there, it's gonna taste right with the water from the kettle there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just enjoy, embrace, green tea life.
I love that. It all comes back to tea. It always comes back to tea. Tea and cake as well.
Yeah.
I really, really like that perspective because I think you're the first person I've talked to who's just been like, no, I want to like get involved in their culture and just do it their way. So
totally.
That's great. And in doing that, do you think that you find a different sense of home elsewhere? Do you kind of like build a second home?
Second, third, fourth.
Amazing.
So the places that I've traveled to, I guess, more frequently, mm-hmm. I feel so comfortable like going back there. So literally like when I get to Seoul Incheon Airport and my phone connects to the Wi-Fi automatically, I'm like, yep,
here I am
back in Seoul. I know my way around. Like I feel very at peace there, even though it's so, so, so different from like home. I still get that sense of home, sense of like, not belonging, that sounds a bit weird, but like comfort, like that level of comfort.
So home's a very fluid thing for you from what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Sounds like, doesn't it?
And it definitely doesn't have to be in one rooted place. It can be in multiple.
I think if it was in one rooted place, I'd probably feel quite stifled.
Yeah. That makes sense to me as well. Yeah.
I think I feel really fortunate to have like all of the comforts of being able to come home, but all of the excitement of being able to go away often too.
Yeah, and that's a lovely balance to have if you get it right.
It suits me well.
Oh, you got it. You found it then. It was really refreshing to hear how Katie has this great approach to home in that she can adapt and move between places and feel fine there as long as she just throws herself into whatever home feels like in the place where she is. Just before finishing, I asked her if she had any other thoughts, and there was just one more thing she had on her mind to conclude the subject.
I remember reading about the population falling into kind of two main camps. So it's like somewheres and anywheres, and then people in the middle. So somewheres is like the identity is rooted to somewhere, like a place.
Yeah.
And then the anywheres was a little bit more, I guess, kind of like free, fluid, flexible about where they're based. And that was really closely tied to their outlook. And then they tied it back again to how people voted in the Brexit referendum. So anywheres, like myself, I think pretty obviously from the conversation we're having, is more of a Remainer, more of a kind of outward looking community building beyond borders.
Yeah.
So reading that made sense to me. And I think I find it quite helpful actually in understanding the other side. Talking about it now, I feel ridiculously privileged. Not everybody has a home. For some people, like having a home is much more about security. And yeah, I feel very fortunate to be in the position where I am, where I've been able to work hard, like where home can mean many things to me, where I've got a supportive family. So if I ever did need to return home back to the mothership, you know, that option is not totally unrealistic. So I guess that's...
Got an appreciation for it.
Yeah, I do. So thanks for reminding me of that.
So those were Katie's final thoughts, but as usual, I had some final questions to ask just to make sure we hadn't missed anything. Can you tell me where you feel your greatest self?
Whoa!
You know what? Everyone's had that reaction to the first question.
Yeah, that's intense. This is a weird answer to the question. I'm going to say it anyway. On an aeroplane.
Wow!
Either going to somewhere or coming home, I always find that to be like, it's a forced contemplation. So having the time to literally just sit quietly with headphones on and think and often like mull over all of the things that I've been doing, I often find I have like a lot of my best ideas and best thoughts like in that moment. And like I was telling you earlier, I think usually because I'm knackered as well. Like I stop trying to think too hard.
Yeah.
You know, when I find like if you're overthinking things a lot, it can sometimes be a block to creativity or your best ideas.
Definitely.
So just really knackering yourself out on a trip and then being forced to go without Wi-Fi, that shouldn't sound like my best self, but I think in a way it is.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Yeah. Which of the following words do you think relates most closely to your idea of home? Physical, emotional, nostalgic, evolving.
Evolving.
Very solid answer, hands down. Great. If home could be a smell, what would it be?
my sourdough bread. I baked some this weekend. If my house could always smell like that without all the effort, that would be amazing.
If home could be a colour, what would it be?
It would be a green. I can see the green. I don't know if I can find the words for the green. It might be quite mossy.
A mossy-ish green.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. What about if home was a sound?
It would be Six Music on a Sunday. Got the Sonos speakers, so you know you can kind of move through different rooms and still be greeted by Keris Matthews. There's nothing better than that.
Great. If home could be a taste, what would it be?
Okay, can I just be really British and say like a really good cup of tea?
Oh my god.
So
yeah.
I'm talking Yorkshire tea.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Like fairly strong.
Yeah.
And a bit of oat milk.
That's how I have my tea.
Is it?
Yeah.
We should have tea together.
Let's have tea together afterwards. So if you could rename home with a different word, real or imaginary, what would you choose to name it, if at all?
I'm just going through the word for home in different languages
head.
I don't know that I can come up with a whole new word.
That's fine. Maybe home is strong enough on its own.
Maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll move on in that case. Can you name one desert island item that you could keep with you at all times to make sure that you always feel at home?
A luxurious scented candle.
If you could write the Katie Nugent Dictionary of Life, what would you write under the entry for home?
Oh my God. It's somewhere that you want to be and accepting that you want to be and making the most of it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Home with our guest Katie Nugent and myself, Elise McKenna. The music used in today's episode comes from the album Empire and Love by The Imagined Village, and it's available from ECC Records. If you work for Lush and you'd like to talk about what home means to you, please get in touch via email or via the Podcasts from Lush Facebook group. We'd love to hear your voice. And if you'd like to hear more from Lush, and our ever-growing archive contains interviews, debates and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.